All righty. Good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday. It is the 8th of January. We have a brand new year ahead of us. There's a lot going on. It's going to be an awesome year. I'm very, very excited. And you know what? It may just be your year. Who knows? Maybe this is the year that it all happens for you. It's very, very exciting. Okay, so Kampsverg, Jack Mutlante is with us this morning, which is very exciting. And I found this on a marketplace. Well, I didn't. Someone else found it. And I thought, what a bargain. Take a look at what's for sale in case you're in the market for a chair. And I was looking, you know, we're looking at furniture for the studio and everything. And look at this bargain that I found online. Maybe you're interested in this. A lightly shat office chair going for a meager $75. That's actually quite a lot for a lightly shat office chair, right?
75.
Is no one else interested? No?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought you might like that. I thought you might like that. You don't need furniture for your house?
No.
A lightly shat office chair is not appealing to you?
No. Oh, you know, honestly, it just doesn't work with the feng shui of my place. So I wouldn't go with that one.
All right. Very good. Nina Hasty, very exciting. Max Sony says in the comments, Nina, there's a good wake up. Raise Jack.
Raise Jack?
Well, we raise it one Nina.
Oh.
It's very exciting.
Ah, that's a poker term, hey?
Yes, absolutely.
Right, right.
Would you rather get a handy from Gorlock or get a prostate exam from Prince Charles Sausage Fingers?
Why are those two options?
I love this game.
Oh, my God.
No, this game is so much fun. We literally played it for an hour and a half, and there was not a moment that we were bored or that anyone asked a boring question. It was all so dark.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, would you rather be smothered to death in Gorlock's thighs or like this one, like Prince Charles Sausage Fingers for a prostate exam? Which one are you going to choose, Jack? You have to. It's at gunpoint.
I have to choose.
There's no way out. You either have to get a handy from Gorlock or you have to get a prostate exam from Prince Charles with the sausage fingers.
Well, I'm going to be violated one way or the other.
Yes. Yeah. Basically, you're like that hairdresser at Fox.
Oh.
Except
oh
this is
God.
Much worse because you don't get any money.
You know what? Bring on Gorlock.
Oh.
I think bring on Gorlock. I think so.
Nina Juwaki Chewbacca.
Like I could look in some other direction and watch like, someone actually attractive. While Gorlock does a thing, but like,
you're gonna go with Gorlock,
yeah,
okay. At least you chose, nothing more boring than this. I can't choose, I can't, that's too terrible. I can't have some imagination, you know,
think about it,
yeah.
It's the lesser of two evils,
and you have to put yourself in a situation you'd never be in real life,
of course,
so that you can laugh about it. It's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Is that lightly shat chair, says Slippery Pickle, in the shape of the Madonna, it could be worth a fortune. I don't, maybe, hey? It could be. She's got her hands like, you know, she's wearing, it could be. Maybe that's, I remember when there was a guy who found a piece of toast. Yes, we're zooming in because we need to see. Is that Madonna? Is that the Virgin Mary? I don't know. Catholics might be upset by that, or they might want to buy it.
Yeah, hey.
I mean, you remember there was that guy who he toasted his bread in the morning, and it came out with the face of Jesus.
Oh, wow.
And he sold the toast for, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, somewhere in the astronomical numbers. Well done. I mean, if you can find, you know how you sometimes look at clouds, and you're like, that cloud is in the shape of a dog.
Yeah.
And it's a sign. It's definitely a sign. But you forget that from every other angle, anywhere else around the cloud, like someone in Limpopo is looking at the same cloud going, it's definitely a lizard.
Yeah.
It's a sign.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, let's keep calm. Okay. And then handy rather, says Yonder, but I wouldn't be able to get up looking at that. As in get, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, again, you introduce new aspects to the game. This game never runs out of eventualities. Like you say, well, we'll give you a handful of Viagra before, so you have to, right? You don't have an option. Huh? It's hilarious. Okay, a couple of things we need to talk about this morning. This is obviously something that's irritating and we still have to go through. airport body scans. It's all since 9/11. It's got much worse and it's never really got better. They never rolled it back.
Yeah.
Instead of just stopping people who look like they might be terrorists, and you know what a terrorist looks like, because it's very seldom that an old grandma is going to try and hijack a plane.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think the grandma doesn't need to be scanned. But anyway, we found finally some useful things that have come out of the scanning, the airport scanners. Here are a couple of those things, and I thought you needed to know. So terrorists discovered, zero, which was the point.
Mm.
But transvestites, we found 133 who were obscuring and lying about what they really were.
Okay.
Because you can see everything on those scans.
Yeah.
Hernias, people who didn't know they had a hernia, 1,485 of those. Hemorrhoids that people either were just keeping to themselves or didn't know about, 3,172. 8,249 enlarged prostates. So better to go for those exams that Prince Charles doesn't have to
give
you.
Yeah.
And then King Charles now. And breast implants, 59,350, because you see those on the scanners.
Just when they thought everything was going tits up.
Yeah, and only 3 natural blondes in the whole world. Isn't that amazing? It was also discovered that 308 politicians had no balls. I thought you'd need to know that. So, you know, we're in the business of bringing you useful information.
Love that.
That's what we do.
Love that.
That's how we function on this show.
Mm.
The leakage looks like a furcation arrow. What is a furcation arrow? That's according to Fiasin. Okay. Fiasin, what is a furcation arrow? I need to understand this. I can tell you what Backpfeifengesicht is, but I don't know what a furcation arrow is.
Yeah,
are you making that up? Is that a word you just made up this morning? Are you drinking early?
It's a possibility. Oh, he's smoking early.
Oh, look at the sausage fingers.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I thought you'd very much. Look at the ones on the... Just go back to look at Jack's face. Look at the picture on the right-hand side and how, oh, man. He even joked about it, Shane. There was a documentary they did on the coronation, and he says to William, they're like, he had to put something on. Or, and he goes, well, at least you didn't have sausage fingers like me. Well, why do you think Camilla's with him?
Oh. Let your fingers do the walking through the yellow pages.
Like
He's making it run, eh?
Darling.
I'm
very excited to see you.
My goodness.
Bring my sausage fingers to the party.
Like.
Exciting.
Jesus. Okay, yeah. No. That prostate exam from that man would be problematic.
Thoughts and prayers for that pinky ring, says Tracy. Listen, you can't get it off, right?
No, you can't.
I mean, it looks pretty stuck.
That should be some sort of medical condition, shouldn't it?
It is. I think it's got to do with it's a circulation problem.
Yeah, that's definitely a heart problem. To my understanding, they call that clubbing, isn't it?
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sausage fingers is what they prefer to call it.
Yarr.
Oh, well.
His fingers look like they belong on a price tag, guy's, man.
He's king. He's king.
Yeah.
But he still has problems like... He doesn't. He's probably hugely embarrassed and so self-conscious about his sausage fingers.
Ugh.
And here you are worried about your day-to-day shit. You're like, oh, my car has a bump on the back fender. Meanwhile, you know, the King of England he's, oh, God, I hope they don't zoom in on my sausage fingers this morning. I'd love to make the speech.
If they actually manufactured gloves big enough to fit those things, he'd just wear gloves.
Maybe
all the time.
For all we know, the Queen had sausage. She just covered them with gloves.
Yeah.
Huh? True. You don't know. Inherited it.
It could be.
Oh, God. I'm very nervous about the speech, but I'm not nervous about giving the speech. I'm nervous about holding the paper with my sausage fingers.
Life is hard, man.
It is.
We all get our challenges, you know.
It really is.
Ah,
man.
You're trying to make a living, scraping together the few cents that you can from your job that you hate and you've just started again. And the King of England's worried about sausage fingers. Yeah, we all have our problems.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Okay.
Whenever you need a helping hand.
This is kind of like Would You Rather, but it came up on a Reddit thing that someone sent me.
Reddit is still a thing?
That's still a thing.
Okay.
There's some interesting. I'm not on Reddit.
but people will screenshot stuff and send it to me. And there's some bizarre shit going on there.
Yeah.
So, for example, I mean, here's someone who said, you know, we live in the age of AI and all kinds of other things. If you could upgrade one organ in your body, what would you upgrade? And then someone replied, well, I was born deaf. You can imagine that it's an easy answer for me. I would love to have a bigger dick. So Prince King Charles might want to change his fingers. That guy would want to change the dick.
Yeah.
But I wonder if we ever get to the stage where you can actually upgrade, like get a software upgrade for your DNA or whatever, and it makes your organ better. I mean, obviously, if you were sick, you'd go for the one that's sick.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people would go for brain. A lot of people would go for their genitals. A lot of people would go for muscles. Mm. I'm trying to think what else.
But do you know what?
Fat. You'd want to get rid of fat if fat was the thing.
I think a lot of the decisions that people would make would be very superficial. Like it would be
looks.
External.
What about looks? Yeah.
It would definitely be about looks. Like especially given how
social media
has become a thing with how people post their curated experience.
But rich people, like people who've got unbelievable amounts of money, they want to. You've seen that what's the woman's name? She's that Jocelyn Wildenstein is her name.
Okay.
She's the cat lady. The one who's had so much plastic surgery. Jocelyn Wildenstein. See if you can look her up there, Flex. Jocelyn, J-O-C-E-L-Y-N, and then Wild N Stein.
Oh, I mean,
she's she's this billionaire.
And you've seen.
It's not a great look.
It's not good.
So I just think that people are already, without the upgrades that are available because of technology and, you know, the stuff we may be able to do medically in the future that will involve non-invasive stuff that can just, you can rejuvenate yourself.
Yeah.
You look like you did at 18 when you're 65.
Yeah.
I don't think that's so out of the question. It's going to happen at some point.
Yeah.
And if you're given the opportunity, and let's say it costs you 100,000 rand to upgrade one organ or one part of you, what's it going to be? Because people are going to be superficial. I don't think they'll go for the brain.
Mm-mm.
I don't think they'll go for, I've been abusing my liver quite a bit with the puza.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather just have, get rid of the lines, the wrinkles.
Of course.
Give me a bigger, you know.
Mm. They would obviously go for those most basic. For me, though, because of all the smoking, I'd upgrade my lungs.
Someone says that Jocelyn Wildenstein is dead. I don't think she's dead.
No, she's not alive. She's still alive.
You got the picture of her yet?
She's still alive.
Okay, we'll find it.
She's still alive.
Flex is busy trying to find that.
Yeah, she's 84 years old.
Jesus.
Yep.
Okay, well.
Born on the 8th of May in 1940.
Yo, she's 80?
Yeah, 4.
84. Wow. Unbelievable. I don't know if I like that or not.
Looking at her pictures, I'm like, wow.
No.
Like, why would you? You know what I mean? It's
mm-mm.
When I see these kind of things, it
reminds me of. Umnani says she died this week.
She died this week.
Yeah, she died this week.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Why she's on my mind, I think, because I must have scrolled past something that had something to do with her. But I mean, like, a really rich woman, and she did that to herself.
That is so sad.
She went for so much plastic surgery that she wanted to look like that. Or I don't think she wanted to. I think that's the best they could do with what they had, right?
But I mean, I'm looking at.
I think in that case, honestly, the surgeon who's taking her money should be.
Yeah.
He should be charged with something.
Yeah.
The guy. He knows she's got an addiction. She's got a body dysmorphia of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
He shouldn't be going after her easy money, really.
Yeah, and I mean, there's images of her as a younger woman, and she was actually beautiful.
Wow, I haven't seen any pictures of her when she was younger.
Legit, man. Check this out.
Oh, she didn't look so bad?
Yeah.
We can maybe share that picture. Tell you who doesn't look so bad. Is this Nina Hasty?
Hello.
Yes, sis. She's dressed nicely for us this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder what...
might be trying to...
Do you have non-hot clothes in your wardrobe? Do you have like tracksuit pants and like drug addict clothes that you could put on? She has a storeroom. She put it all in a container. Mm. Okay, I knew it. Okay, let's bring Nina Hastie in here. I want to. There's look at that look job. At that. Jesus, look at that picture there. That's a hot picture. Well, thanks for pointing that out.
Actually, can I?
So, you know, you're not getting any taller. You and Jack, when I put you on the sofa, your feet dangle.
Listen here. Hi, how are you? How are you doing?
Okay, all right.
By the way, we're not short, we're fun sized. Just so you know.
You're Kampfswerks.
Wow.
Kampfswerk.
Kampfswerk.
Yes, it's a combat dwarf.
A combat dwarf. I just learned that this morning.
I am very much a combat dwarf. Best description of my life. I'm fine, and you?
Yeah, it was very good to see you. I saw you briefly just before Christmas. We were filming. Can we show the video of that wrapped thing that we did for the SABC? This is quite cool. Take a look at this. Nina was the lead anchor on this thing. It was very cool.
Trevor Goombi.
Give it up for Coolie Chana.
Go, hip hop, hooray.
Y'all go by the name of Nadia Nakai. I'm
gonna get my money back.
A wild night ahead of us. This is Wrapped 2024. Legendary Kurt Darren in the house.
I'm very pleased we had you on the show.
Thank you so much.
Because between you and Goombi and Dumi, it's just like it's always a party.
I was so, without sounding patronizing, I was so impressed with your decisions. Like to have those three people, because we haven't worked together in a long time, the three of us.
But you know what it is? It's like there's just a flow that comes in, right? And because the three of you are all such talented improv, like on the spot comedians, you don't have what a lot of TV people have, which is that they need a script. They need to be told what to do. Then there's this one doesn't get along with that one because that one is an Instagram famous model and this one's a Mahosha. And like with you guys, you all, you get along. And I mean, even though you hadn't seen each other probably in a while, because everybody thinks, you're in comedy. So you spend all your time with each other. I could see there was just such an easiness with you and Dumi when you were sitting there when I came to say hi to you. And you said to me, you're ready to settle down and find a man. And you said, I must find you one.
Please find me a man, Gareth.
I just noticed how well you got along, and I thought this is going to be so great. And back to you and finding you.
Nah, let's talk about real stuff, like you know,
like what?
I've got something.
Tell me.
Did you watch Nikki Glaser at the Golden Globes?
So listen, it was Serbian Christmas yesterday. I've been a little bit busy.
Oh, what do I say?
You say Christo Serodi, which means Christ is born, and then it's a call and response, and then I say Vaistinu Serodi.
And when
Serodi.
Do we take out the guns and go bum 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 bum?
afterwards. You know, it's so funny because my mom made us light candles, and my grand goes, you know, we don't light candles at Christmas. We only do Kandilo at Slava, which is our saint day. And I had a little chuckle to myself, but my uncle wasn't there, so there were no guns. No.
It's a weird thing. We'll get back to the Golden Globes in a second, but it's a weird thing. Like it's Russian Orthodox.
Well, yeah, Serbian Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, same thing.
And
Ethiopian and Greek.
And yet there's a lot of that Greek stuff because it's obviously in the Balkans. And then you've also got the Italians on the other side there. Just in the area, you've got the Croats who are, they're obviously Catholic. They're Catholic.
They stole the whole coastline.
They took every fucking piece of coastline. They left Serbia with not one beach. How's that? How did that?
That was so rude.
Who negotiated for you fuckers? Huh? Who did that?
You know, I mean, so you speak about like the Italians and the Russians and whatever. So, I mean, so the Croats decided to go with the Romans and so they obviously, you know, found their allegiance early on. They were like, let's go with these guys. They look like they're winning. And they abided by their calendar. So the reason there's a separate Christmas is because it's part of the Gregorian calendar, whereas we're in the Julian calendar year of our Lord 2025, whereas the Ethiopians and the Russians are all by the Gregorian calendar. So decimal of from the Latin 10 used to be the last month of the year. So decimal, right.
That's 10th, correct.
10th month, and then they added July and August, Julius Augustus.
Yeah,
right. So it's a little history lesson.
Here we get a little history, a bonus history lesson from Nina.
Yeah,
but I mentioned the Golden Globes because I thought of you, Nikki Glaser, who's hilarious, and I love her. I didn't watch the Golden Globes, but I saw a clip on Twitter of her. So she made a couple of hilarious jokes. The first one is she goes, and Selena Gomez is here, and her boyfriend is here because the genie granted him his wish.
Wow, that is and he's fantastic. An ugly,
I mean, like he looks like a wow, like a Lord of the Rings type, and you can see he's in love with her. I don't know what there's something going on there. But he won the lottery.
Well,
I mean,
no, absolutely. Yeah. So did Ariana Grande's Grinch. What is his name?
But
wait, what is going on with Ariana Grande? Like that movie, that Wicked movie or whatever?
What
like,
is that?
It's genuinely done a number.
What
it is
that?
A phenomenal film. It
really?
Is a phenomenal film. Like it's going to go down in like history as one of the best films. It's a masterpiece. It really is a masterpiece. It's incredible film. They built this gorgeous set. It's a musical that doesn't feel forced. It is well scripted. It is.
You've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, it's been.
I mean, you're telling me this stuff. I actually had here.
Yeah.
What the fuck is Wicked and why should we care?
It's lovely. Look, as far as like the political agenda, I've become actually, maybe I've just stayed the same in the world. Went in different directions, but
welcome to my world.
Yeah, I'm just like, what?
I'm like, I used to call myself a liberal, and now I hear people saying, that's very far right of you, and I'm like,
yeah,
okay,
yeah, exactly. So,
are you far right?
Well,
Jesus,
I think I'm just right. just like, what is everyone on about? It's really crazy, and it's so funny. I've become the people on my way here. I was thinking, like, Gareth. How, you know, sorry, please remind me your name.
Jack.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Jack, I used to have a show on Gareth's platform, by the way.
Yeah.
Another thing I wanted to say this morning, how much I respect you as a business owner. This shit is fucking hard, and you have not just done it, but you have maintained it for a very long time. So hats off. This is not something easy in Cyril's economy. So I'm really I have such reverence for you. It's really hard.
I appreciate that. And I'm getting better at taking compliments. So I'm taking that on board.
Okay.
It's really nice of you to say that. And I know it doesn't come from nowhere because you've been working your ass off as well. So,
yeah, exactly. Well, working my ass on. I don't know if you've seen it. It is fantastic. My ass is getting better by the second. Seriously. It is really. It's perky. It is fantastic.
You're not going to get any complaints from us.
I know. Listen, it is part of my strategy. It was like, okay, cool. Let's just look at Q1, Q2, Q3, QT.
Okay.
I just want to go back to Nikki Glaser.
Yes, please.
You obviously know her comedy.
Yeah.
You pay attention to what's going on. She's very funny, and she's done a lot of roasts and things, but
that Tom Brady
she goes up, she goes,
amazing.
I'm nobody. She goes, you know, maybe you know me. She goes, I've done a couple of roasts, I've done some TV, and she goes, but you're all such powerful people in this room. I mean, you guys can do anything you want except get the country to vote the way you want.
Oh, wow. Yes. That's such a great line.
I love it.
She's so good. And you know, I was in the sauna.
Okay.
And I was thinking to myself, like, what an expansive moment. Because I often think, like, you know, Trevor has hosted awards, like, you know, and is an American household name, a global household name. And I think that was very expansive for a lot of people, but also a lot of people might have been envious of that. But I never saw that as expansive because he didn't reflect what I look like. Like as a white woman. I didn't see myself in him, right? So as a white woman, I found like that was so expansive seeing representation as a white female comedian.
You're the chick who wanted the Barbie doll that looked exactly like you.
Yeah,
otherwise
exactly.
You couldn't play with Barbie.
I could not. Well, which is why I played with a Porsche 911 Turbo.
So she said something which I thought was brilliant, but at the same time, the audience hated it. She's like, this is going to be a different sort of awards show. She said, because in a year or so from now, people are going to go, oh my God, there he is before he was arrested.
Oh, wow. That's so good.
So she kind of did a bit of a Ricky Gervais thing on them, which
great.
Was lovely because they really deserve it.
Yeah.
These Hollywood celebrities. Jack said earlier, like the celebrity endorsement's worth
it's nothing. It's dead. It's completely dead now.
People actually have turned from idolizing and loving celebrities. In large part. I'm not saying everybody. There's
Do
still...
you follow Kevin Bacon on social media?
No, should
he I? He is hysterical. He lives on a farm and he sings his little songs with a like guitar.
Actual Kevin Bacon?
The Kevin Bacon.
Footloose?
Yes,
foot,
6 degrees loose. Of Kevin Bacon.
Wow.
Okay. So in terms of like, and Kelis has a farm and she grows mushrooms and stuff. So these are like celebrities that are totally, she's great. She literally has an organic farm. She has chickens and like, she's like, and she looks great. And she's like, so the mushrooms are like harvesting and I've made my oils. And she's like, makes her little organic oils.
She's become such an earth child.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
But isn't it great?
Isn't she dating Bill Murray? Or are they still?
I heard something joking? Like
that. I'm being dead serious.
Oh, where's my Bill Murray shirt? I should have worn my Bill Murray shirt.
I
have a shirt that just says Bill Murray.
You love
just,
him.
The man did Ghostbusters. How do you not love him?
I mean, he's the...
But he's significantly older than Kelly.
He is.
But he's significantly cooler than everyone on the planet.
He's pretty cool.
No, he's pretty cool. And she's always been like, been pretty cool.
Isn't this interesting? Mm. Like, you're talking about people like Bill Murray. He's never really been a celebrity.
Right.
She's always been like too cool for that. Kelis was like this huge singer. She was this massive star for a while. And then people watching now who've never heard her name, and that's possible, will go, what, this like farm chick? But that's what she's now famous for. It's like the stuff that is making people cool and interesting now.
Counter culture.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because all of that stuff became so,
Like in a weird way, a lot of us have now realized that you have to show up as your authentic self. It's just that the word authenticity.
Performative authenticity is a bunch of bullshit. Okay, so I just spilled some water. Performative, and I caught myself doing it. I'm like, I'm so authentic. And I'm like, authentic to what? Like my depression? You also don't have to bear every single thing. How about like, okay, cool. Here's a lesson. So a lot of like comedians make this mistake, and I've made this mistake as a comic when I was first coming up. It's just like you're trauma dumping on this audience.
And they don't want it.
Yeah. And your responsibility, and someone, you know, asked me literally yesterday. So, you know, how did you get over stage fright? And you know, you might not think that I had stage fright. I was terrified more of cameras than of anything else. I used to, on Trending SA, I used to go and cry in the fucking change room at ad breaks and then come back out.
Yeah,
I wanted to kill myself literally every day. There was that, you know, that Rivonia Road like loop before you get back onto the M1 South.
Did you cry the M1?
The whole way. I was like, if I just go straight, people will think this was an accident. You know, I really hated that job. it was just because I had no creative autonomy in that space, you know, and the script was written by some 21-year-old that started the day before. And it was like, hi, guys, hashtags.
So I always used to watch you in studio with Gumby when you were doing TG Squared, our show, and you were having the most fun. You were smiling and laughing and you'd come out of there like you were on fire, like you had energy for everyone in the room and some. And then I'd look across the road when you'd go and do Trending SA and I'd see you like your shoulders were down and you were having to talk like Siago Boza stuff with like, with Shame, with old...
with Siskuli Roberts, Cooley Roberts,
Shame.
R.I.P., man.
Yeah. And I just, with the contrast was just enormous.
Yeah, it was enormous. And it was, you know, I was thinking about bringing this up today because I discovered this. Do you watch Tiny Desk Concerts?
Of course.
Okay. Ooh. Okay. It's one of the like most watched music platforms on YouTube. Okay.
Well, so you just recommended Wicked. So I don't know if your recommendations are worth anything.
I think you should watch Wicked just from a production value as a film. It is phenomenal. Right. I think just watch it. Just give it a chance. You know,
there's not too much wokeism and stuff.
So here. I just saw Cynthia and Ariana and all these clips. With the long nails and they were always crying with each other.
Yeah.
And like they're in love with each other.
Yeah.
And I was like, this looks like it's going to be horrible, especially for me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to relate to this at all. I don't love musicals. I really don't.
Yeah.
So I did have a very...
A reaction to watch it.
I had a deep knowledge I would hate it.
Right.
But I think you might be more persuasive than you think.
Okay.
I might actually have to go and check this out like, at least then if I do hate it, I can criticize it with knowledge.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I had the same thought. I was like, oh God, I'm not going to, what must I watch this for? And because there's a surprising, the role that Ariana plays is not what you think it is. It's not this, it shows the vulnerability in all the spaces. Like, she's not just like this princess that's excellent. She's like, hates herself and is
I don't know. Yeah. I see you putting me off more.
Okay,
and more.
So no, all right. Anyway, it's good for me. It was good for me.
You were just saying the vulnerability. I love what you use this term trauma dumping.
Yes, sure.
Which is something that I want to just get into this for a second.
Okay, let's talk about that, sure.
Because this is now, it's so boring now, right?
Yes.
We always used to joke, and I'm sure I've told you, certainly you know, Jack.
Yeah.
Whenever comedians would come on the show, it would turn into a therapy session, my show.
Yes.
And and these are people I love who are hilarious. You know a lot of them too. And I think, oh God, here we go again. It's going to be about that uncle who made me sit on my hand. On his hand.
Yeah.
And then someone would, they'd be like, oh, it was really hard. And I just don't think that era started with Oprah and Dr. Phil and even Donahue before that, where people would unload all this private shit. They'd do it on TV, and it was like, wow, we're getting into these celebrities' lives and they're being vulnerable. I think at the moment I would like a whole lot less vulnerability.
Yeah.
I'd like people to actually just be entertaining.
Let's go back to being entertaining. You are hitting the nail on the head. So that was my answer to this guy who asked me if I've got like a, stage fright. And I said to him, the day that I realize that my responsibility to the audience isn't to make them like me, my responsibility to them is to fucking entertain them. And that is my job. That takes everything out of the ego. Mm-hmm. It takes it out of like, well, did they like that set? Didn't they like that set? Did they laugh?
Right.
That is my job. My job is to make them laugh.
And that relates to Nikki Glaser.
Absolutely. Because and she did such a good job.
Her job is to entertain the audience, not those people in front of her. They are material.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like if someone heckles you in the crowd, they become material for you.
Did you watch my roast, the AKA roast
I remember. Okay.
And I have a lot of criticism of the way that the roasts are done in South Africa. And I'll start with one of them. And it is that, why are we getting soccer players and rock stars to be on roasts when they should be comedians? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they're not funny.
They're not funny because they don't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. And they also are not.
They don't understand the craft.
But it's like they go and get a bunch of celebrities or people who are in the news and they think that that's sufficient.
It's about numbers. Like if you found 6 or 7 really great comedians who didn't have massive followings and you found 5 or 6 celebrities that could guarantee that 1 million people would watch the show.
But they don't anymore.
That's what they're not watching.
Well, they're not watching because the show's shit. So the point is,
no one cares.
10 people, and I was at the end of it. And Hanan, who's my, I want to say that I'm Hanan's plug. I'm telling you,
that guy is so clever, and he's helped so many people.
Phenomenal.
And I just love that we get him on the show here every Monday because what his schedule's like. He doesn't have time for anybody.
Yeah, except me.
I've had really good friends of mine who are struggling with various things and they've said to me, can you get an appointment with me? And I'm like, God can't get you an appointment with Hanan at the moment. Mm. And he sent me a picture from, because we had this joke last year. Were you here that day when we were talking about there was someone who wrote into us and said, Hanan, please help. My girlfriend is just, she's screwing all these men.
Lucky girl.
and I feel very hard done by. And anyway, the joke was that I said she must have been doing kilometers of cock.
Oh, what do we do, Dr. Hanan?
So he sends me a picture from wherever he's on holiday where they've got, I think it must be Bali or Thailand or somewhere. and they got those dicks that they, you know, the dicks that they make out of wood, mm-hmm. and they paint the little patterns on them and everything. Yes. And people, when they come back from there, they buy you a dick.
Oh, so funny.
So he sent that to me and he's like, they just have kilometers of cock.
That is,
he's
so
got a great sense
good.
Of humor too.
No, fantastic.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, back
so
to
he,
you.
He helped me because I was like, listen, we're going to do this roast. I know what's going to happen. And the irony is I've become such a prude and such a, not a prude. I'm just like, why must I, that takes so much emotional investment to have sex with someone. And I'm at the age where I get, well, not the age, I'm at the whatever the stage is where I actually get emotionally attached and I kind of want to, you know, aww. And I can't like, I can't have sex with lots of people. I just, I'm not good at it anymore.
That's also a girl thing.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think it's,
no,
it
I
is
think
a,
it's a stage, of, stage thing. Yeah, like at some point, like I don't care who you are. If you were, for argument's sake, if you were a young man who was great at dealing with women and you could get laid all the time, at some point, most probably when you get into your 30s, you're going to look around and think, okay, this is just like just empty. It's vacuous.
I don't know. The guy I was seeing is can get anyone he wants and does. Anyway, so. Anyway, so. No, I'm kidding.
Are you softening?
Softening. I'm just, you know what? Forget about that part. The point is, I knew it was going to come. The easiest way for people to make jokes at a roast is let's slut shame someone. Let's talk about someone's vagina. Boring for the audience. So by the 10th person, they had written scripts for all these people. And then each person on top of that wants to do their own little bit. They're like, okay, let me just say, hey, Nina, you're like penis. And I'm like, oh, okay. Just because I was a little bit like free with, you know, conversations earlier in life and also a little bit more free with how I approached sex and my attitude towards it. You know, this is something worth making fun of.
You get punished for it.
Yeah. So I
meanwhile, we don't know what a fucking soccer player. Do you know what those people are like?
Exactly.
They are the biggest whores on the planet.
Exactly. Yeah. So right? I opened up with, I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
Sports people must be pointing a finger at you.
Are you fucking joking? And rock stars. Anyway, so I said, I didn't realize that fucking bitches and making money was reserved for men. That's how I opened it up with. And then they kept talking about my vagina being the size of Moses
they
Madiba
just
Stadium.
They pasted everything they've said about Lisa Lampanelli.
Absolutely.
What
their name starts with an S and I can't remember it. Anyway.
The one who dated Kimmel for a while. For God's sake, man.
I don't know.
How can I be so dumb that I forget these?
I can't even remember.
Names.
And I'm supposed to, I'm supposed to be the expert. But they said it was because it was the AKA roast, obviously. And I was like, well
that's aged badly. considering
well,
he's
I mean,
not around anymore.
Yeah. So, wow, Gareth. and they said, Nina's vagina is the size of Moses Mabhida Stadium. And I was like, well, at least I fill it up. So, so anyway,
also I think, with you and we're not good. This is not an interview show, you know, we're just sitting here talking shit. But you've gone through a pretty amazing evolution and I've seen it happen because now, there's a real confidence that's replaced like that
performative
confidence, right? We all have to, you have to put up a brave face in the beginning. Otherwise, you're never going to do anything.
Right.
And this goes for everybody. You could be an accountant, right? And the first time you submit your balance sheet to the boss for an approval, like you have to fake it till you make it.
Bravado.
And then eventually you get to a point where you're like, I don't give a shit if this person approves of me or not. I know I've done great. And this is good enough.
You know, it's so strange. You see that part. And then I went through and now we're talking about authenticity and vulnerability, but only in a space of relevance to this. So I went through a bit of depression the last 2 years and I just didn't want to be on television. I didn't want to be seen. I didn't want to be part of anything because I just was doing stuff that was so not me and I didn't have creative autonomy and that I was like, this isn't my voice. And I wanted to break
Dance
Monkey Dance. And also this brand that had been created by the broadcast network of the South African Republic and in the apartheid algorithm, which is like English, And I was like, that's not who I am. They made me like Fashini girl next door, like, you know, and that's not who I am. I am a completely counterculture person who is, who does wear Moncler jackets, who is, you know, does, is inaccessible, and people don't come into my house because I light the fucking incense after you leave because I don't want your fucking energies around here. And I'm like completely on the other side of that shit. And I am decided, you know what? And I got a bit sad because of that, because I actually am an artist and I need to express
myself.
Well,
I saw that come out in fucking bucket loads with you when everybody else was depressed about like COVID and Eskom, and you were doing hilarious shit where it was just you and your phone. And I was like, that's the talent.
Thank you. And right? Thank you.
That's the talent. And I don't know, maybe that's also why I loathe television. Maybe I was depressed by it.
Right.
Because you're put into, and we're not going to sit here and complain about the industry. Okay. That's very boring for everyone who's watching. If they're still watching.
They're definitely watching because I'm hot.
But I don't think everybody who isn't in the entertainment business understands how draining it is to have to dance monkey dance when it's not your thing.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
And, but you know, no worries. But there's a part of me as well that's like, okay, look, you might not want to be a part of the dance monkey dance thing, but you have to pay bills. You know, there's a little part of me that's like, you know what? Shut up, suck it up, do the job.
Well, you're here. So. Dance, Jack, dance. So there is that.
I dare you to say dance monkey dance to a black man. I fucking triple dare you. Go on. Even you couldn't get away with that.
Dance, Jack, dance. Yeah. I did well. Well done, Nina.
I took note of that.
Thank you. That's 500 live episodes of television and national TV. Thank you very much. Not one BCCSA complaint.
You taught yourself
Not one. Thank you. So I will say this. The dance monkey dance approach to stand-up was – so that television space was infecting my stand-up.
Oh, shit.
It was infecting –
it was making you boring.
It was making me pander to an audience and make them want to like me. Mm-hmm. And I have now been in this other voice. And also because I was doing television every day, I didn't have time to be doing stand-up. So what was happening is I was growing as a person. I was, you know, the world was changing and I only had this material from 3 years ago that I knew worked. And I didn't, and now the stakes are high because now I'm famous. That's what I was trying to solve for. I was trying to get famous so that I could get onto the stages that I wanted to. Mm-hmm. But then the fame became the thing that stood in the way of me doing stand-up.
Yeah.
So then the stakes were too high for me to be shit anyway, and that's why I wanted to take a break from everything. So I take a break from everything and I don't do stand-up. I don't do it. I'm behind the scenes. I'm creative directing. I'm writing behind some award-winning shows and commercials.
Oh, that's great.
And I then came back, and I will say this, I've only just figured out how to do stand-up. I've only just figured out my voice.
Natural now.
It now feels natural because I've got the chops to say the shit that I want to say.
You see, you are your best, in my humble opinion, when you don't give two shits what people think.
Yeah.
Like when you're actually saying, even when you've argued with me about shit, and we've had lots of arguments over the years, like plenty of serious conversations, which are very funny to the observer.
Sure.
But I know you mean it.
Right.
When you talk about, you know, whether it's fucking feminism or race relations or whatever, and we have very different opinions.
Yeah.
And I love when you just tell me what you think without giving a shit how I feel about
it. Right, exactly. And it comes from a space of going, well, I've taken the fucking time to think about it. You've taken the fucking time to think about it. And now I'm, you know, it's not like I'm just making this up out of my asshole on the spot. I've like thought about this to the end. And I will say another thing. I'm finally correctly medicated. So I've also struggled with my fucking mental health. No, you got the balances
right.
Jesus. Yeah, it turns out I just needed an antipsychotic. So I didn't think that the Russians were building a fucking file on me the whole time. Anyway, so...
But you posted something funny yesterday about how, or you sent it to me, like, what was it?
What did I send you?
You sent me something yesterday, which was very, very
funny.
Oh,
did I? We're cute. also, like, Gareth and I will, like, not speak to each other for 6 months and then send each other this random fucking meme about, like, whatever. And then,
reasons I lift heavy.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Reasons I lift heavy. To have fun, 6%. To look good, 6%. to be healthier, 6%, to not murder, 83%.
Yeah, that's why I lift weights. So to keep the country safe from my fucking self. I'm like, I'm sorry, guys. I'm trying not to kill you.
Well,
because,
you are a Serbian.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, you could go fucking postal any minute.
Yeah, exactly. It's literally in my DNA.
So I want to show you this because I think this is just probably one of the best ways to start 2025. You remember that woman who threw the paint at the Van Gogh?
Oh, that fucking, yes. Okay. So I saw you post about that as well. And I was like, I had such a visceral, physical reaction to that. And I'm, yes, let's talk about it.
So here's the story. In September 2024, feels like months ago it was, Just Stop Oil activist Phoebe Plummer. I mean, it's always like some spoiled.
That's not a real name.
It's a real name. It's a real name. She probably comes from a lovely middle-class family. She's never done anything naughty in her life. And then she decides to do fucking this after she's got her hair pink and she's got her nose piercing.
Don't trust anyone.
And her younger sister's most probably an apple.
Sorry, did you say don't trust
anyone with pink hair?
I agree. Yeah. She was sentenced to 2 years in prison for throwing soup on a $90 million Van Gogh painting. So.
Good.
Discuss.
All right.
So, isn't it interesting? I find it so hilarious that even that soup can that she put on the Van Gogh got there as a result of the thing that she's protesting.
She's doing branding. She's like, literally doing branding. Like, okay. I remember being young and liberal and having very serious and necessary opinions in the, and we're old enough, Jack. I don't know if you know, I know that I'm this magnificent, but I'm old. I'm like, just like 2, 3, 4 years younger than Gareth. Okay. We just age well. I'm in my 40s. Okay.
No.
Yes. And, in the 90s in Pretoria, where we're both from, we went to opposing high schools. I went to Willow Ridge and he went to fucking Sutherland. And at PEMSA, every year they would annihilate us and we'd go home and hate ourselves. Anyway, and in the 90s in Pretoria, there was a reason why white people had to speak up about things because people of color didn't have agency. So it was your responsibility to be an ally in social circles to represent and stand up for people and give people a voice where they didn't have a voice in a white hegemonic media space.
Right.
Okay. Now we have free media, we have Twitter, we have all kinds of places where we have video cameras. Everybody can say what they want to who they want. It is no longer my responsibility as a white person to give you, Jack, dance, Jack, dance, a voice.
Yeah.
Can so, I tell you something? Yeah. It was never your responsibility.
I felt like it was.
I know, but you appointed yourself to that position.
Sure.
It wasn't like you suddenly went around with a clipboard and said to all the black people you knew, if you would like me to stand up for you, please sign this. I accept this.
So this is where I was coming from. Yeah, and yes, it was like this white virtuous bullshit that I was doing.
You thought it would make you a better person and you'd be doing the world a fair amount of good.
Yes, that was my perspective,
which
right?
which comes from a good place, doesn't come from nastiness,
right? Sure. And it wasn't coming from a place. And yes, I didn't have people's permission, but I just kind of felt like, oh my god, this was my perspective. And then I was like, Nina, sit the fuck down.
Yeah,
you don't need to be speaking on behalf of anyone. And this is why my stand up is coming from a place where it's literally just my story, my shit. In relation to the world.
My favorite thing you've ever said, I don't even know if you'll remember this, is we were talking once and someone brought up like white privilege and you went, yes, well, my cousin has a yacht. And that's my white privilege and I fucking own it. Which
yes,
I love.
Yes.
Was like, yes, you shouldn't be. You know, someone posted something about, oh, the inequality. You know, they always show like a picture of Alexandra Township and Sandton, and they always go, look at the contrast and inequality is terrible and all this stuff. And of course, any decent human being goes, it's not right or fair that these people are poor and these people are rich. But anyone who says they can change that through policy is probably going to do more damage than good.
Yep.
And the reality is that every person, the people in Alex and the people in Sandton, have one thing in common, that they don't want to be equal to each other. They want to be the top dog.
Yeah.
They want to be in charge. Yep. They don't want everyone else to be the same as them. They want to be absolutely by eons and miles and millimeters and centimeters and kilometers a cock more fucking successful than the other people, right?
And they cloak it on in all of these new buzzwords and inequality.
So I'm so
and
glad that you said what you said, because this is a major thing for so many other people who probably haven't realized it yet. It's like nobody appointed you
to
be
this white savior. Who the fuck do I think I am? Or any kind of savior. So this is such a good example.
The guys around 16 days of activism. You have these allies. You know what I'm talking about, Jack? These men who come out, particularly politicians, and they're like, oh, 16 days of activism. We must stop gender-based violence. And you're like, I'm already taking care of that in my life. I don't perpetrate it.
Be the change you want to see in the world.
I stand up where I can. I don't just shut up when I hear and see it in people I know, but you're just grandstanding and you're doing it because you want to look like a nice person. You don't give a shit.
Virtue signaling.
Exactly. And so this is what I was realizing, like, who the fuck do I think I am? What do I think I'm fucking doing? And why am I speaking for people when I don't really know their experience and their voice? Like, this is a load of shit. So I saw yesterday Post Malone gave a waitress a $20,000 tip, and my sister and I was like, on the verge of tears. Okay, granted, there's a lot of estrogen in my body at the moment, and everything is making me cry. But I was like, oh, that's so amazing. She goes, why? Because you wish you were her. And I was like, no, I wish I was him. I wish I could just give someone $20,000.
That's revealing.
Exactly. And it speaks to this. Like, it's how revealing is that? That is like, I looked at myself afterwards and I was like, you're such a fucking wanker. Like, you really are. Like, I really am. I'm constantly trying to save everyone around me. And actually, when I really just need to be saving myself, because I'm not putting the oxygen mask on myself. And what have I done with my privilege? I haven't done enough with my own privilege for myself. I should have been fucking taken advantage of it.
Exactly.
Use it.
Yeah.
And it's so annoying how people get mad at people who like push the advantage. Like, I'm sorry, if I'm in a position to exploit something, as long as I'm not hurting anyone, I'm sorry, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah,
well, I'm not gonna think twice about it.
Hell, like, yeah, if you could get a meeting with somebody because of your surname in your case, you must fucking do it, dude.
Like, I can't tell you how many times I've been
what is your surname
over.
Motlanthe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yes. I can't tell you, like, especially during his presidency, whenever I got pulled over, I'd kind of show up with an attitude, be like, try me, let's see, do it.
Are you related?
Yes.
Oh.
His uncle.
Yeah.
Oh, hectic.
So, you know, from time to time, you just pull over, give them your driver's license. They're like, okay, we're going to write a ticket. You're like, I know your boss. Try it.
Right. Exactly. That's great.
Oh,
that's
so you
fantastic.
Were a little shit. You were,
of course.
Yeah, okay.
I mean,
how old are
I
you?
I would have been.
I am 36 this year.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You also don't age. You also look 12. I mean, this is, is there something in the water in that you hand out here at the Real Network?
I don't know. What's happening is more and more the people who are as old as me, and I know we're all looking old. I'll tell you a story about that just now. They say, you don't age. But I know that what they're hoping – that it might be a compliment. I'll take it as one if I can sense that they're genuine.
I love that he said it might be a compliment.
Some
of
the time they say no. Some of the time
they're
saying
fishing.
It because they wish thinking that might be. Maybe you can be a vampire and live forever.
Right.
And maybe it's possible for me too with my saggy tits and my
I can't wait to get my tits done.
When
cannot
are you doing
wait.
This?
At the end of this year. That is my plan.
What
by
are you
the
going
end of,
for? Big and outrageous?
No, just like not big and outrageous. Because also I'm short and, you know, I don't want to get like fat again and just look like a blob. So I want them to kind of just be like lifted and perky and like in their 20s.
Some good surgeons now.
Yeah. Yes. And South Africans, you know, because
it's not as dangerous. You used to take your chances and maybe you'd end up with like one nipple that went like that and one that went.
Yeah.
Now they're good.
My mom had a mastectomy, right? So that they took the one boob off and then they lifted the other one so that they would match.
Right.
But in those days, this was in the 90s. They had to like put the bag underneath the pectoral muscle, stretch it out because it would not have supported itself. Whereas the other one went over the pectoral muscle and just inside the boob, which is the one that I'm going to get. I want the ones like where they kind of still feel like bags of sand. Anyway, And my mom, so this was before she got, I love the story, I tell the story a lot. Before she got a mastectomy, she had this prosthesis, which I always say like you know, like Oscar has prosthetic legs, but yeah, a prosthetic breast. It would be weird if she had a prosthetic leg in her bra. But if we had a bra, and you know, there's always a Gary at a bra. Like, I don't know. It's like you get the Weber and you get a Gary at the same time. And yeah. Gary was giving my mom shit. And my mom is also like this 5'2" Serbian woman. And Gary was like this big South African person. And she's like, and he's like, you know, I'm being a cuck. And my mom just eventually looks at him and she pulls out the prosthesis and she slaps him on the forehead. Oh, and yes, she puts it back and she goes, well, I bet you feel like a bit of a tit now. Yeah. You know, like, so that's that. I love that kind of thing. You know, like, also the way that you approach whatever happens to you, I think that's where I'm at. The way that you approach whatever's happening to you. So yeah, I had the depression and stuff and it was cuck, but I shouldn't be talking about the depression. Hair, I lost my hair. I'll show him. I had another little alopecia patch that just came up recently now. I don't know if you can see it.
Slightly.
So cute.
But that is linked to like stress.
It's stress and autoimmune and yeah. Oh. So like I had a little bit of stress. So anyway, I'm on the other side of it and kind of, I don't want to talk about that part. I want to talk about, listen, when you're going through stuff, just kind of, you need enough, and Hannah talks about this, you need enough people around you to be able to like check, oh, okay, this chick's not lacquer.
Yeah.
You know?
And people who have your best interests at heart. You don't need money or therapists or a break or a holiday. You actually just need to get on with it, put your head down, have something meaningful to do, and have people who love you around you in case you have a wobble, so they can put you back on track.
Yeah.
And that's fallen apart in society these days because families aren't close. Mm. You have people who are very, you know, most people live on their own, especially in cities, live on their own. They've got this much space. Mm. They order a lot of takeaways. They watch too much TV or they're on their phones the whole time. It's a guaranteed recipe for all sorts of, let's not say mental illness, but certainly a propensity to fall into mental illness.
100%.
And because people are getting married later, if at all, they're on their own for too long. They get into their own head for too much of the time, and it just fucks them up.
It's the convenience that exists all around us, right? Like you don't have to leave your house to get food or anything else, actually. You can just sit there and everything is
doing isolation. Isolation is incredibly fucking dangerous.
It's gone to the point where I believe that we even deal with truth in the same way. If it's not convenient, I don't want it.
Yeah, exactly.
So that is such a great insight.
Spot on.
It's become insidious in that way, because if I honestly found myself trying to figure out how I determine if someone is my friend or not. And what I figured out is if they can tell me the truth and I don't find it offensive and I hear what is actually being said, then that person is my friend because I trust them to tell me the truth.
I've lost a lot of friends by virtue of me constantly telling the truth. And they're like, why are you so harsh? And I'm like, I'm literally just telling the truth.
Yeah.
And if you don't like hearing that about yourself, well, we're not going to go very far.
It's a new problem.
We're not going to go very far. And like my one friend goes, if she's got other people in her space that, you know, need feedback, she goes, okay, you can go and chat to Nina, but be warned, she's going to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, okay. So it's like, I come with a warning label because I'm so honest with myself, and it's taken a long fucking time for me to figure this shit out. The fact that I can say I'm a virtue signaling white woman fucking wanker, that's hard shit to know about yourself. Yeah. You know, it's
Miles Davis said it. It's one of my favorite quotes from him. He says it takes a very long time to learn how to play like yourself.
Dude, this is what I'm saying. I haven't known how to do stand-up until now.
Yeah,
and the show that I'm working on is it's.
So when is this happening?
So I'm going to be working on it throughout the year. It's called Tangents. There's a couple of things. Because one of my biggest issues with stand-up is I could never finish a fucking joke because I'd interrupt myself with tangents. But now, because I'm correctly medicated, I was just nuts the whole time. I can remember my material. I can finish an idea. So I can take an idea all the way to the end and like finish it for myself. Mm-hmm. And then also remember it. So why I'm so good at improv is because I needed it to survive on stage, because halfway through my jokes I'd forget what I'm saying.
Right.
And so I would have to just make shit up on the spot, like, oh, I know I was somewhere, but I don't know what I was saying. And then I'd be like, hey, Baldy in the front, what's happening? You know, you look like a peeled lychee. whatever. So, you know, I was just solving for a problem. And now that that problem is solved, I've got those skills of improv, but I've also now got the ability to finish all these ideas, interrupt myself throughout the show with these different ideas, and then come to the virtue signaling, talking about ADHD, which I watched Ellen's special. Have you seen Ellen's special? Please fucking watch Ellen's special.
Is she doing stand-up?
Yeah,
she did.
Because she used to be the OG of comedians. Like when she was doing her original
Ellen's special.
I've got a CD of hers called Taste This.
Ooh.
It's got spaghetti, and then the spaghetti spells out Taste This. The fact that I can remember it is because it was so good.
Yeah.
And Ellen was so funny. And now, of course, everybody just knows lesbian, horrible TV boss, making guests do stupid dances. She went into TV and TV made her unfunny.
Please, for the love of God, the fact that you've just summed that up, I just got goosebumps, actually. You are going to love her special so much. What do you think? What do you think?
Look, will I watch it again? No.
I watched it twice.
I think she covered enough of what was happening in recent news and whatnot, but I don't know if it was that funny. It wasn't necessarily my cup of tea.
It was incredibly skillful. It was masterful how she managed to take public opinion, not go make excuses for shit, but just go, okay, cool. This is my, it wasn't in defense of herself. It was okay, cool, let's talk about this shit. It was so masterful. And what I was, so one part of me was like, oh fuck, she speaks about ADHD, and then I was like, oh my God, I have listened to kilometers of comedians talk about their cocks. So you know, so I think it's okay if like two female comedians land up talking about ADHD. It's okay, it's my perspective. So
what you were talking about now with being able to remember where you left something and pick it up later. That was always the thing that I admired so much. I've never been a stand-up comedian. I never could be. But I've always looked at that and gone, fuck, that's brilliant. When George Carlin or Billy Connolly and probably Ellen when she was still doing stand-up, that those people were so good at. They drop little bits like Hansel and Gretel. They drop the little crumbs along the way and then just when you think they've forgotten about that thing, they suddenly bring it back and you're like, oh, that's so good. It's so satisfying. It's like when you watch a movie and the ending is good. It's not predictable.
Right.
You're like, shit, that's clever.
Yeah, that's why I've got so much respect for theater actors, man. Mm. Like it's you with cameras and all of that stuff, you can say cut, reset, you can do it again. But with theater, it's cathartic. It's there. It's like,
do it.
You have to do it now. You get what I mean? And what's also cool is that the feedback is immediate. You hate theater?
I hate theater.
Oh my God.
I haven't been to see a play. Last time I went to see a play, my sister was studying drama.
Oh, no wonder you hate it. Sorry, you probably had to go to a lot of like university plays.
No, I went to one ever.
Oh, okay.
And it was horrific. And I told her, I'm never coming back.
That's so funny.
And then luckily she quit drama and ended up becoming a lawyer. And she's very good at that.
Mm.
And it requires a sense.
Yeah, a little bit of acting there.
Yeah, it does.
I don't want to distract from what you're saying, just because I hate theater, but I really hate theater.
So you know what I always say is like, you know what's worse than poetry? People that like poetry.
Oh wow!
I cannot. I am the river. The river is me. No, you're not the river. You're not the river.
You see, the both of you are starting to piss me off.
Okay.
You
great.
Don't like theater,
and
you
I don't like poetry. Poetry.
Like,
no.
What is this?
Yeah, Pippi. I don't. I just. We're allowed to not like stuff.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying. Like, from the sounds of things, you don't like how poetry is performed.
Correct. We all need to get out of our.
It's not that. It's how it's written.
We all need to. We all need to get out of our comfort zones.
Yes.
So. Your homework is that you're going to have to watch the Ellen special again.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
I will force myself to watch Wicked.
Great. Uh-huh.
and you are going to get back into Kilometers of Cock.
Oh, fantastic. That was a great callback. That was fantastic. Thank
Very
you.
Nice. That's the Thank end of the you. Show, everybody. Thank we don't have anything left. Thank you. We have left nothing on the cutting room floor today.
That was amazing.
Very good. See you on Friday, 6 a.m. Be good. If you're not, take photos. Ciao. Bye. Like